ETC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people.
On RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Oh yeah, it's Friday night, all night, and welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and I'm just hoping that the thunderstorms off in the distance don't suddenly come here loud and clear and possibly knock me off air.
You know, we had a little bit of that this morning here. A couple of mornings ago, we had it too. Now, last night, I got to tell you, all yesterday afternoon, they were... They being, you know, weather gurus, right? They were predicting some horrendous weather last night. And I don't know if other places up here in the Sand Hills region of Nebraska got that or not, but we didn't have any of it. But they were talking about rain and winds, and I mean winds, winds at 80 to 90 miles an hour.
Wow.
But we never got any of that. So we did have some rain early this morning. I want to say it was about 3:30 this morning. Some rain, some lightning. I love the light show that we get here in the Sand Hill region. It's beautiful.
Well, the electric storms are kind of cool. You know, the way the lights flash.
Yeah, I love it.
Everything gets dark, and then they flash again. You don't get the thunder, you just get the lightning.
Well, we had some thunder this morning, but it wasn't that real horrendous stuff that just feels like it's going to blow your house apart, you know? It was more the rumbling type of thunder, but I love lightning. I love thunder. You wouldn't think I would. When I was a kid, our house got hit by lightning right above my bedroom window while I was sleeping in it.
Oh, wow.
It put a hole about 5 feet around in the roof and burned out every light socket and every plug and every light switch in the house. There were scorch marks on the wall by every single one. I mean, it was crazy. And I was laying there in bed, and I had an outlet there right by the head of my bed, and that's the first place where all that power went, and the explosion there was so violent that it literally made dust out of all the plaster on that wall. Not just around the socket, the entire wall just vaporized.
Wow.
Oh, man. So you wouldn't think I'd like it, but I do. I love a thunderstorm. I sleep better in a thunderstorm than I do any other way.
Well, you want to hear what's funny? The best sleep I've ever had, and I'm a fellow insomniac like you, is going on the auto train from Florida to Virginia to head up to upstate New York. There's something about the rocking, very slight rocking of a train and the clanking, you know, on the tracks.
Yep.
Best sleep I've ever had.
There's a rhythm. It's a rhythm.
Yeah.
And it's just
soothing rhythm.
Yeah. You know, and I find the sound of thunder and all that, I find that, to me, is very relaxing. I have no idea why, but I love it. Folks, we've got a short show for you today, but it's going to be an interesting show. About a half an hour from now, I'm talking about Fauci's future and the fall of liberalism.
Hopefully that'll happen.
Well, you know, you guys be the judge after you hear it. But, you know, Diane, you did a great op-ed on Fauci earlier this week. And this is kind of, I don't want to call it a follow-up because it's kind of taken it on in a whole different realm than what you did on Tuesday. But yet it's completely Fauci-oriented.
And the one I have coming out this upcoming Tuesday, for people who haven't had the vaccine yet, like me and Greg, and we're not taking it, my article might give you pause not to take it as well.
You know, I was at a meeting last night, and somebody asked me if I'd gotten the jab.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at him and said, nope, and I haven't been to Europe either.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, it is what it is. But look, let's start with some interesting things that are going on in the news. Quick hitters, but we're going to take maybe a little bit more time with them than what we normally do with quick hitters. We start with Ilhan Omar, who really said some obtuse things on the floor of the House the other day. She compared the U.S. to terrorist groups.
Yes, she actually equated the U.S. to Hamas and the Taliban. But then again, you got to remember this Muslima, because that's what she is. This Islamist, because that's what she is, hates everything about America.
Well, she hates everything about America. She hates everything about Israel. She would rather the U.S. be the crap hole of Somalia where she came from.
Exactly. Instead of being, you know, grateful that she came and got out of the crap hole that is Somalia, she is actually antagonizing everything that is American. Well, if she hates it here so much, get the hell out of here. We don't want you.
Well, the good news in what she said was that some of the Democrat members of the House really took her on. They really stood up to her. The bad news is there was only 12 of them that disagreed with her.
Well, there were 12 of them that outwardly disagreed with her. Some of the others in very heavily, let's say, Muslim districts or uber liberal districts might have been afraid to speak out against her, because whether we like it or not, she, as a member of the squad, holds a certain amount of power now, thanks to the Democrats not shutting her and the others up.
Well, that may be true, but I'll tell you something. If you can't see the difference between the U.S. and the Taliban, I mean, there's something wrong with you. And if you... I don't care which side of the political aisle you're on, but when only 12 liberals in the House stand up and tell her you're wrong, that says a lot to me. And if
right.
you don't
and not
have
all of the 12 were Jews, like some are, you know, claiming.
Right. You know, but if you don't have the courage to stand up to a swine like that, you know, then what are you doing representing people in this country?
Well, she's representing a district that's as vile as she did. Her district in Minneapolis is basically what they call Little Somalia. And it has that whole mindset.
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm talking about, you know, Democrat members of the House that are from other states, you know, and if they can't stand up and say, listen, Omar, you're wrong. The United States is nothing like Hamas. The United States is nothing like the Taliban. If you can't stand up and tell her she's wrong, there's something wrong with you, and you should not be serving this nation.
I agree.
I mean, let's look at what Hamas has done recently. Okay, you wrote a great piece about it a couple, 2-3 weeks ago. They use civilians, children, as human shields. They put their rocket launchers and their weapons and stuff in schools and hospitals, in neighborhoods. You know, their people to them are fodder.
Well, right? They go.
We don't do that.
Step worse. Many times they fire rockets into the strip, knowing they cannot reach Israel, killing their own people for photo ops for the world to see and go, oh, look what happened because of the conflict. When those rockets were deliberately fired, knowing they wouldn't reach Israel, knowing that it would kill their people, knowing that they can blame that on Israel.
Right. And, you know, Hamas, the Taliban, ISIS, al-Nusra, you pick the group. These are hideous terrorist groups. Mm-hmm. They don't give a flying rat's ass about anybody's life, not even their own people's lives. They don't care. These are vile, disgusting excuses for human beings.
Well, and this line especially gets me. This is one of her tweets, and this is just one line, folks. We have seen unthinkable atrocities committed by the U.S., Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and the Taliban. Now tell me, what atrocities have the U.S. and Israel committed?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, I can go back to, some of that stuff that was going on at Abu Ghraib.
You're talking about isolated incidents. That's
yes,
not
I
atrocities.
Am. I understand that. But I mean, outside of that, I don't know what she's talking about, and I suspect she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Well, she's a pre-programmed Islamist extremist. She is spewing the rhetoric of the Islamists, and she thinks that's going to fly here in this country.
Now, to her, maybe eating a ham sandwich is an atrocity. I don't know.
I don't want to know. The woman is a pig, to put it mildly.
She's off her bean. I mean, yeah. This is crazy stuff. But I'll tell you something. I expect it from her. I expect it from her ilk. I expect it from the ilk of Rashida Tlaib. Okay, I even expect it from the ilk of AOC and some of those others. All right, mm-hmm. What gets me even more upset than what she said, because that kind of crap just flows out of her mouth. She's pre-programmed for it, and that's what she is. Okay, but what really angers me is when not every single liberal member, not every member of her party in the House. They all should have stood up and told her to sit down and shut up.
They should have, but they won't. That's the whole thing. They won't. They are controlled and told what to say, when to say it, and who to chastise. But here, right in her first sentence, the woman doesn't have a freaking clue about the country she represents. She said, and I quote, "The United States and Israel are imperfect, and like all democracy, etc., etc., etc." Ilhan, the United States is not a democracy, it's a republic. If you can't even get that basic fact straight, you have no right sitting in Congress, as far as I'm concerned.
It's a representative republic.
That's right.
Get a clue,
That's right.
But yeah, that whole thing is just absurd. But she's by and large, she's getting a free pass from liberals, Democrats, whatever you want to call them, in both the House and the Senate. I haven't heard anybody in the Senate even say, you know what, she really needs to shut the hell up. I haven't heard even that from the Senate.
Well, I don't know if the Senate would I mean, they should get involved in it, but does what the Senate have to say on this type of thing affect anything?
No, but it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do, and I know a lot of the senators, you know, would love to bitch slap the bitch, because that's what she is, folks. In a way, let her sink on her own, within her own little group at the House. She's making a mockery of the U.S. House, and yeah. Eventually, maybe enough of them will wake up to that truth.
I hope so.
Taking her down requires her own party forcing her to resign or censoring her,
yeah,
censuring her, or actually removing her from office.
Yeah, but you know, and I know, and I think a lot of our listeners probably know, that's never going to happen. Not with the current climate on the left
right.
side of the aisle today. In fact, you are working on, for down the road, mm-hmm. not next week, but the week after, you are actually compiling information right now on some of the anti-Semitic crap that's being thrown out there. And some of it, unfortunately, is coming from elected officials, and some of it is coming from the left side of the aisle. And it's going wild. And you're working on a piece. I don't want to get into it, but yeah. You're working on a piece on that. And this kind of falls in line with some of that crap.
Yeah, to some degree it does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So look forward to that. It won't be next week. It'll be the week after, folks. Now, we move on to Hunter Biden and his great emails. It was revealed a couple of days ago. You know, they've got all these emails from Hunter Biden's laptop, and he was having email exchanges, plural, not just one time, plural, where he is going back and forth with his own attorney. His own attorney, by the way, happens to be a white guy.
Right.
Okay? And over and over and over again in these emails, Hunter Biden is referring to his own attorney, emailing his own attorney, calling him a nigger.
Exactly. And in the most derogatory of manner. I mean, one of the things he was saying is to his attorney, how much money do I owe you? Because, nigger, you better not be charging me Hennessy rates. Obviously, that's a very expensive attorney. Here it is. The man that's defending him, a white man, he's calling the N-word?
Yeah.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
And it wasn't a one-off. He did it over and over again.
No, he did it over and over and over again until his emails actually turned totally sick, where he's talking to his attorney, and this is real, folks. We are looking at the emails as we're telling you this. He's talking to his attorney about his penis. I can imagine the attorney barfing in his waste paper basket or something.
I mean, obviously the guy is drug addled. Hunter, not the attorney. I don't know about the attorney. He may be high as a kite, too, for all I know. But, you know, and again, this is the kind of crap I would expect from somebody who is as much of a lowlife as Hunter Biden is.
He's not just a lowlife, Craig. His brain is probably fried from years smoking crack and popping pills.
I agree. But what's really disturbing is he's getting a free pass. You don't hear the mainstream media condemning him for this. You don't hear any of the talking heads condemning him for this. Nothing. It's like crickets.
We hear us telling the truth.
Yeah. I mean, why the abject silence? Can you imagine? Can you even imagine any prominent conservative calling somebody a nigger in email and getting caught doing it, getting a free pass?
No, I can't. I also can't believe these particular emails, where Hunter goes, "My penis as of late has been unconditional." And the lawyer goes,
"What?
That's why we are searching for my penis," said Hunter. "And we will always be searching," said his attorney. I mean,
Wait.
What the hell kind of conversation is that?
Well, first of all,
I mean, if he can't find it, he's got more serious problems than just drugs.
Well, listen, what exactly does it mean when he says, "As of late, my penis has been unconditional"? What exactly does that mean?
I have no clue. Nor do I really want to know, because he is just filth. This is the son, the man that Biden thinks the world of. It says a lot about Joe Biden as a father.
Well, do you remember the good old days when we were all upset because Anthony Weiner was just taking pictures of his? You know, and now we've got this, you know, the son of the president, and we're not talking about, you know, a 13-year-old here. We're talking about a full-grown adult, okay? And
right.
He is having a full-on conversation with his attorney about his penis being unconditional, whatever the hell that means.
Well, let's get off the penis and let's go back to the N-word aspect. Here is another thing that he's very proud of, and he's telling his attorney about this. This is a meme that he has on his laptop, and this is the laptop that was seized by the FBI, by the way, that showed his father and now, thankfully, former President Obama embracing. And the text that he has on the meme is, "Obama, gonna miss you, man. Can I say it just this once? Please, Obama, go ahead." And then Joe goes, "You my nigga, Barack." This is what the president's son has on his laptop as his opening page. You know, when you open up your laptop, yeah, everybody has something. This is what he has. And this is the man that was involved in Burisma and other, you know, such dealings. And now we have this and pictures of him, you know, in a bathtub with a crack pipe hanging his head out of his mouth. And nobody's saying a word about it.
Nothing. Nothing.
We are.
You know, it's stunning. It's staggering. It's bizarre.
It really is.
All right, finally.
It's really a crime, Craig, if you ask me.
It is. Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, Florida makes the news again, and it's their Board of Education taking a stand. What did they take a stand on?
Okay, first of all, this was pushed by our great Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday. The Florida Board of Education approved a rule that prohibits the teaching of critical race theory in our Florida schools. And I can guarantee you, I am speaking for parents everywhere in our great state of Florida by saying thank you, Governor DeSantis. You know what crap critical race theory is, and now so does our Florida Board of Education. All critical race theory does is teach children how to hate. That's all it does. It teaches young, impressionable minds how to hate.
That's it, exactly. And I've got an article coming out next week that kind of takes that to the nth degree. Last Tuesday, I did an article that, you know, focused on the Loudoun County, Virginia school district and their gender program and their critical race theory program. Well, I'm taking that a step further on Tuesday next week. Okay, it's a follow-up to what I did last Tuesday, you know, just a few days ago, and I'm really going to get into that. But, you know, congratulations to the great state of Florida. Other states, and you know who you are, there's 49 of you, unless you're Barack Obama, and there's 56 more of you. But here's the thing. If you want to know how to do it, if you want to know how to pass a law to knock this crap out of your schools in your state, I'm sure Governor DeSantis would be happy to share the information on how Florida did it.
Right. And not only did the Florida Board of Education do it, they did it unanimously. Kudos to the Florida Board. Double kudos to our great governor. I mean, Florida is now leading the way in this country back to normalcy and Americanism.
I'll tell you what,
we here in Florida are absolutely thrilled.
It's a big, big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, when your state board of education says, nope, not here, you don't, that's a big deal.
Right. And know, though, folks, Florida's not the only state to have done this. There are five states, Idaho, Iowa, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Florida. And I heard today that Montana might have also just done this, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I know Montana was looking at it. I hope every red state in the nation does it.
I hope every state, red or blue, does it, because critical race theory is BS. It's the teaching of hate to young, impressionable minds who don't hate. In other words, critical race theory is creating racism.
Yeah,
that's
a blueprint.
Its intention, and that's what the liberals are allowing.
It's a blueprint for racism. It really
Absolutely.
Is. Absolutely. You know, so Florida,
Absolutely.
Great job. I would love Nebraska to do it, but I don't think Nebraska will, and that's because our State Department of Education is full of liberal Marxists over on the east coast of Nebraska, if you will, Lincoln and Omaha. I don't think they've got the intestinal fortitude to stand up to it. But I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that go through up north here in South Dakota.
With Kristi Noem, I guarantee you it'll go through.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully, like Diane said, every state will do this, but at least I hope the red states do.
Every single red state needs to get on board with this. Throw this garbage out. All it is the teaching of hate.
That's it, right down the line. All right, folks, so we got here to the bottom of the segment. That means we got to take a quick break. We got a couple of, you know, little station ID things. If you miss any part of tonight's show, all you have to do tomorrow morning is go to rspradio1.com. You can be one of the pod people by clicking our podcast button, and Podbean hosts our podcast, and there it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty simple, and then you can listen to it over and over and over again. Put it on a continuous loop and listen all day. I don't know, maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you want to listen to several shows. We've got them all on there. I mean, it's a full rack, so, you know, take your pick. Any show, I mean, there's little descriptions there, tells you what's in each show, and, you know, have at it. You know, make yourself at home on our website. We appreciate that. With that, we're going to take the bottom of the hour break. We got one segment to go. When we come back, I'm talking about Fauci's future and the fall of liberalism. Stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Okay, so for, you know, coming up, not next week, but the week after, you're working on this thing about the anti-Semitism that is just running rampant. On that particular show, I have the coup de grace of snarkiness.
And folks, I've gotten a sneak peek at it, and it is funny.
I'm
a lot
going,
of truth.
There is a lot of truth buried in there. I will be going off on that show, not next week, but the week after. I will be going off on all of this everything's racist crap.
Right.
In a way, I guarantee you folks, you have never heard before.
It's quite funny.
I had a good time writing this one up. So I hope you enjoy it, but you got to wait for, you know, a whole nother week before, you know, we get to it. But that's okay. That's okay. We're going to have a great show next Tuesday. Friday will be a talk show. And then the Tuesday after that is when Diane's doing the anti-Semitism thing. And I'm going on a snark attack.
Yes. It'll be a good show, folks.
It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. For now, we're going to talk about Fauci. And this guy, you know, they say when you're at the bottom of a deep hole, you should quit digging.
He can't stop. He keeps digging his hole deeper and deeper.
He just keeps going back and getting a bigger shovel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like this, but you did a great job Tuesday night, this past Tuesday night, really detailing the lies.
Yes.
That Fauci's been telling. So I've taken this on in kind of at a different angle. All right. For the moment, Dr. Anthony Fauci, or as I like to call him, Dr. Tony Baloney, is the only anointed liberal Marxist saint without an arrest record and who hasn't defied the commands of police while in the commission of a crime. Oh yeah, I mean, you know, like Mike Brown, Rayshard Brooks, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd, all of whom expired due to their involvement in criminal activities, Tony Baloney will probably have schools and streets named after him, but he's about to leave a very different legacy in his wake. You see, he won't be with us much longer. Oh yes, he'll still be fogging mirrors, but he will soon cease to be the uber-liberal Marxist celebrity that he's been. That 15 minutes, or 15 months of fame, is about to fade away quickly. Hollywood, social media, and the mainstream media, along with elected liberal Marxists everywhere, continue to fawn over society's grim reaper for the moment. And yes, they will all try to preserve his legacy of aiding and abetting not only the liberal Marxist agenda, but the agenda of the Chinese Communist Party. However, he's got to go away. You see, 2022 is coming fast, and people are sick and tired of 2020 and the first half of 2021. People have had enough of being locked up in their homes under Orwellian restrictions, forced to wear useless masks, being told they must do this, not do that, or the other thing will happen. People want their kids back in school. They want to travel. They want to get together wherever they want to gather and in numbers of their own choosing, and they don't want to have to carry government-issued papers just to go to a restaurant. Fauci, Diane, is a constant, blathering, lying reminder of all the things that have made life miserable for Americans for the past 15 months, and thanks to the revelation of his emails, the shine on the liberal Marxist turd is fading fast.
Well, you know, there's a reason, a specific reason why his star has to come crashing down, because, you know, 2020 is a very important year.
Well, 2022.
I mean, 2022, yes.
Yeah, I mean, time. Time is not the man's friend right now. In a matter of months, the 2022 campaign season's going to be in full swing. And as gas prices soar, jobs numbers continue to underperform, the border remains uncontrolled, crime rates skyrocket, and freedom is spotty at best, even Democrats are starting to have buyer's remorse for what they bought into in 2020. Liberal Marxists know they can't carry COVID and its manufactured pandemic panic into the 2022 midterm elections. They also know that Dr. Tony Baloney, his emails, and his lies are now a liability. Had Fauci told the truth from day one of the pandemic, liberal Marxists would have fired him on Biden's first day of squatting in the Oval Office. But Fauci was their hero, the tip of the spear they wanted to use to control the populace. They needed Fauci then, but they can't afford Fauci now. They can't fire him either. Were the liberal Marxists to fire Fauci now? Well, it would be the same as admitting he was wrong all along, and that would mean that they were wrong too, and they're not going to go there. The emails are proof that Dr. Tony Baloney was lying from the jump, and they should be enough to haul him off to committees under oath and maybe even have him arrested, but that's not going to happen. Not now, anyway. Maybe in January 2023, when Republicans once again control the House, maybe the Senate, but not now. The mainstream media won't condemn him, social media won't censor him, and Hollywood celebrities will simply slither away like the snakes they are. They will all just quit talking about it. They'll find something else to use as a distraction, and they'll just let Fauci fade away. But will he fade away quietly? Probably not. He'll retire. He'll say he wants to spend more time with his family, or there'll be some family emergency that requires him to step aside, you know, back into the shadows or under a rock. Oh, the liberal Marxists, they will heap praise on the man they put out to pasture, telling us all just how courageous Fauci has been and how his leadership saved countless lives. And those lies will be as big as the whoppers Fauci's been telling for the past 15 months. Celebrities in Hollywood like Julia Roberts we'll have to find somebody else to pretend to have orgasms over, and the mainstream media will canonize him. But it's all just part of the propaganda. Diane, Fauci is not the only landmine the liberal Marxist dream of total control has. You see, they will also have to retire COVID as a panic trigger, while somehow claiming that the reason we can all get back to normal is because of them.
Well, you know, there is a particular problem that's going to come up for those campaigning in 2022? And again, it comes back to Fauci. But what exactly is that problem?
Well, I guess I call it a minefield. You can't run your way out of a minefield, and the liberals have surrounded themselves with political claymores. The border's wide open. Illegal aliens are pouring into our nation, and they're doing that at the invitation of Joe Biden. That's a huge problem. We are no longer energy independent, and gas prices are soaring. That's a huge problem. China and Russia are toying with us on the world stage. That's a huge problem. And people are being paid by the liberal Marxist machine not to work, which is not only a huge problem, but it's bleeding out the American taxpayers. Aside from all that, also planted as landmines by the liberal Marxists, especially in blue cities and blue states, is a booming homeless problem. And that comes with rampant drug use and mental illness. Democrats are watching as what they voted for is laying waste to their cities and their states. I mean, look at Baltimore, L.A., Portland, Detroit, and other major liberal Marxist enclaves, and you will find that their parks and their streets are covered by tents and littered with needles. It's not just unsightly, it's dangerous. It's a health hazard, and it's something that can be directly linked by liberals, or to liberals by conservatives in the 2020 midterm elections. And what about crime numbers? Blue cities and blue states are seeing those numbers skyrocketing. And again, conservatives will directly link those numbers to liberal Marxist policies. But we all know that AOC has the solution. According to AOC, there wouldn't be crime were it not for prisons. You see, she believes that the fewer prisons there are, the less crime there will be. That's not really how it works. California let thousands of criminals out of their prisons because, you know, COVID. And as soon as they're back on the streets, more and more crime ensues. New York did the same thing, and they're reaping the same results. Defunding the police isn't the answer either, Diane, because they aren't the cause of crime waves. Everywhere in this country where police departments have been defunded, there's been a huge increase in crime, especially violent crime, and crime is up in liberal Marxist sanctuary cities, too. There are reasons for all of that, and campaigning conservatives will be highlighting every one of those reasons very, very soon.
Well, you know, when you think about it, isn't there one thing in common that the liberal Marxists do and believe regarding these, you know, problems? There's something they truly believe regarding these problems that the rest of us just look at them and shake our heads. There's nothing else we could do but shake our heads with the stupidity.
Well, yeah, you're right. You know, all campaigning liberal Marxists can do right now is pretend that the problems don't exist. They have to pretend. But that's asking even their voting base to ignore what they see with their own eyes, what we see with our own eyes, or feel in their own checking accounts. Blue city and blue state Democrat voters are not immune to the descent into hell caused by the very people they elected. And while many may not vote for conservatives, they will stay home in November of 2022.
Yes.
Finally, outside of Dr. Tony Baloney Fauci, there are some other high-profile elected liberal Marxists who will have to be dealt with by the liberal Marxist machine, and quickly. Governor Gavin Newsom in California is being recalled as his state slides into the abyss of the liberal Marxist agenda. He's a lost cause, and the machine knows it. Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan is clinging to lockdowns, mask mandates, and the last vestiges of manufactured pandemic panic while hypocritically ignoring her own rules, and that is pissing off Democrat voters in Lansing and Detroit big time. How about Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio in New York and New York City, respectively? That's the liberal Marxist dynamic duo of destruction and despair. Talk about liabilities to their party in 2022. Wow. Over in the House, the liberal Marxist machine has got to find a way to get Nancy to sober the hell up, AOC to shut the hell up, and the rest of them to wake the hell up before it's too late. But that's a lot of doing things up for people too uppity to do what they need to do. Obviously, the liberal Marxist machine can and will send Fauci into retirement, and they can and will try to distance themselves from the COVID pandemic they themselves manufactured. But that's just the tip of the iceberg to their Titanic agenda, and there aren't enough lifeboats to save them from 2022. If conservative candidates can stay the course, if they can drive home the points, the midterms will be a liberal Marxist mass casualty event next November. Stay engaged in the fight, my conservative friends, and we will witness Fauci's future and the fall of liberalism.
Well, you know, Craig, I really hope you're right, but there's one thing that we always have to remember. They can still win in 2022 with vote tampering, illegal voting, dead people voting, and Dominion voting machines being used again.
That's true. That's true. But I think Democrat voters are going to be so sick and tired of this crap by November of 2022, they won't even show up.
I hope so, but I don't put anything past them. Not after what we saw in 2020, I don't put anything past them.
You're right, you can't. You know, but they can't go into 2022 with a guy like Fauci. They just can't. The emails prove that he's a liar. There's no hiding any of that now. There's no hiding it. And, you know, he's directly tied to funding the lab in Wuhan. You brought all that up on Tuesday. Right. You know, you've got all the proof in there. The emails prove every bit of it. Everything he was telling the public was completely the opposite of what he was saying in private emails. You know, they can't. It's out there now. It's in the public now. It's no longer speculation.
Right.
They can't carry this guy into the 2020 midterm election. They got what they needed out of him in 2020, but he's done.
I need him to be done now because that man has caused so much damage to this country.
He has. He should be arrested.
He's got blood on his hands.
Absolutely, he has blood on his hands. Now, folks, you can read this commentary for yourself if you go to either my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, or you go to rspradio1.com. You can get the link either place, and I hope you share it. There's a couple of great videos that I've locked and loaded in this particular commentary. One of them is AOC being an abject moron, which isn't hard for her. That's kind of her natural state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, it's like when I used to watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, and they would show you hyenas in their natural state. Well, this is AOC's natural state, all right? And she's talking in this thing about how we can solve the rising crime problem by just stopping the building of prisons. You know, which really,
that's
when you think about
idiocy.
It.
That's plain idiocy.
Which really, when you think about it, that means using that kind of logic, we could cure cancer if we just quit building cancer wards at hospitals. Right? I mean,
that's what, look, she's a bartender. That was her big thing. She was a bartender. She doesn't have one working brain cell as far as I'm concerned.
She doesn't.
She's the mind behind this Green New Deal. That should tell you a lot right there.
It should. The other video that I've got locked and loaded in here is Julia Roberts literally having a Zoom call orgasm over Fauci. Holy crap.
I know
these Hollywood celebrities, they're a bunch of mindless buffoons and baboons, mm-hmm. you know, but good grief, you know, if you can't figure out Fauci's full of it, the last thing you should be allowed anywhere near is a Zoom call.
I mean, our country is becoming a laughingstock thanks to these people. We went from American exceptionalism and America being respected again on the world stage thanks to President Trump and his strong stances to becoming the joke of the world. I mean, Biden's supposed to meet with Putin. Putin is going to eat Biden up alive because Biden can't even keep up at the G7 summit, even with his little cheat cards. They're laughing at him over there.
Well, I'll tell you what didn't help when it comes to that G7 thing. On the way over there in Air Force One, he's taking naps while Dr. Jill is sitting at his desk on Air Force One preparing his notes.
Oh, dear God.
I mean, and as dumb as you think the Biden administration is, folks, it gets worse by the minute. They actually photographed Jill Biden sitting at the desk. His jacket is hanging on the back of the chair. She's got a big binder full of stuff that she's going. She's sitting there at the presidential desk on Air Force One preparing him, and it's even captioned, Dr. Jill Biden preparing Joe for the G7 summit. Where is Joe? Where is he?
Sleeping.
He's in the back having a nap.
First of all, even the Democrats did not vote for Jill Biden. Okay? The country is not getting the president that supposedly 80 million Americans vote for. They're getting his wife. I mean,
and she's not even a real doctor.
No, she's not. She's not. So this is just ludicrous, and the world is laughing at them.
Oh, it's
us. I mean, I want to be a fly on the wall when Biden meets with Putin.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be worth the price of admission?
It would be. It
Holy crap.
It would be. We've got to find out what happens there.
You know, I got a feeling it'll get out. Now, it won't get out from our mainstream media, but I'll bet you we can find it in European media sources. I'll bet you we can find it from the BBC, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised that Putin releases tapes.
Hey, I got news for you, Craig. We will find it.
We will find it. I'm telling you,
and
folks.
We will report on it.
You know, I mean, I don't even know. Honestly, does he even know where he is?
No.
I mean, I don't even know if Joe knows where he is at this point.
He doesn't know where he is. I saw a brief clip of him at the summit. It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. This is supposed to be not only the president, but the commander-in-chief of our military.
Right.
And folks, you know we got problems when our military top leaders say climate change is the biggest obstacle and the biggest danger facing America today. We need a change of our top brass in the military now, thanks to Biden and crew, or I should say thanks to Obama.
I can't quite figure out And maybe you can help me with this. I can't quite figure out what our military thinks they can do regarding the weather.
They're going to blow it up.
Well, isn't that what the military is supposed to do, is blow things up and kill people? And, you know, I mean, isn't that really kind of their job? So, you know, they're talking about the weather. Are we going to send the Marines? Well, you know, because I mean, the Marines, they're pretty tough. Now, I'm not saying the Navy's not, and the Army's not, and you know, the Air Force. The Air Force, you know, you don't want to piss off the Air Force because, man, they can do things. But you know, the Marines will get you in the water, they'll get you in the air, they'll get you on the ground. You know, what are we going to do? Send our military after
the weather,
the wind? What?
I mean, yeah. Maybe they're going to go with a giant cork and plug up the clouds, you know, so it doesn't rain. I mean, this is what the world sees here now of us.
I've got a lot of faith in our military. I just have to say, I don't want anybody to think I don't have faith in our military, but it's the weather.
Right. And it has nothing to do with faith in the military, really. It has to do with faith in the Biden bootlickers.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah, but
it's not
yeah.
our military that's the problem. It's the bootlickers that are the military brass who are acquiescing and playing politics.
Well, and Biden came out just the other day and he said, look, I'm not kidding. The greatest threat to our national security is climate change.
Is the weather, folks.
I'm like, what? Really? The Chinese are not a threat, you know?
The Russians.
The Russians, the hackers in Russia.
The Islamists.
You know, yeah, none of that is as bad as the weather.
No. It's a very sad, sad situation, and our founders and framers must be turning over in their graves.
Can you even imagine
what the hell has become of our republic?
If you could sit down on a park bench right now and talk to Washington or Jefferson or, you know, Ben Franklin used to tell it like it was, you know.
Yeah.
Can you imagine sitting down talking to them on a park bench right now going, well, what do you think, boys? How are we doing?
It's sad. It's sad. I never thought that the America I grew up in would become a laughing stock of the world.
Well, if we went from being feared and respected, okay, mm-hmm. feared by our enemies, respected by our allies, to a laughing stock in 5 months.
Well, you forget there's something before that. We went from an America that apologized to its enemies.
Right, that's true.
Obama. To Trump bringing back American exceptionalism and respect, to becoming the laughingstock.
Well, you know, it was really funny on the world stage because when Trump started out, the world stage was laughing at him about this guy, mm-hmm. he ain't nothing. He got nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, he went to his first big summit and he pretty much told him where to shove it. I mean, he told NATO, look, you guys either pony up and start paying up, or you're going to be out here floating on your own. You know, he told China, we're done playing it your way. Now we're going to play it our way. I mean, he told them all, and he followed through.
And we got respected again.
Yep.
Trump canceled out all of Obama's faux pas, apologies, bowing to Muslim leaders. He canceled all that out.
Yes, he did.
But now we're back again.
We're back, and this time in spades.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is crazy, but you're right. I would love to hear what's going on between Pootie Poot and Joe, Dementia Joe.
You want to place a bet on who's going to win that exchange?
No, because we'll both take Putin.
We kind of know it ahead of time.
Yeah, we'll both take Putin on that.
Yes.
You know, you told me earlier today, and I understand it completely. You said, I'm kind of rooting for Putin on this one.
I'm only rooting for Putin. That's kind of funny. I'm only rooting for Putin because I know that, and you and I have both said it, Russia is not our enemy.
No. No, they were.
Wake up and understand the politicians, the Democrat politicians have tried to make Russia our enemy, saying communism, communism, this and that. They're forgetting that Putin is a statist. He puts Mother Russia before anything else. He's not trying to rebuild the Soviet Union. He's trying to rebuild Mother Russia. What did Trump try to do? Rebuild the America that our founders and framers intended us to be. Right. Trump and Putin are alike in certain ways, in positive ways. They're more alike, I think, than they are opposites.
Well, and let's face it, Russia, China, Ukraine, Belarus, they all bought and paid for Joe Biden.
Right.
Okay. You know, so he can't stand up to them. They own it. No.
They
own it.
They own them lock, stock, and barrel.
You know, I just wish.
Somebody's got to pay for Hunter's, you know, what? Drug habit.
Well, yeah, and, you know, help him find his penis, I guess. I
know.
Folks, we have come to the end of the show tonight. We appreciate you being here. If you missed any part of it, all you have to do is go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning. You click on that podcast button. By golly, we'll be right there. You can listen to the show whenever you want to. And we hope you do. And we hope you go to thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com, grab the link to my commentary about Fauci, and share it everywhere. But with that, Diane, I think we're done tonight.
I think so. Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Tuesday.